St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 1. Have you got it? Then he called his 12 disciples together, listen to this, and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So we see that Jesus here had called the 12 disciples. He had sent them out to preach the gospel and to heal all the sick. So in verse 7, look with me. Now, Herod, the tetrarch or whatever, heard of all that was done by him. And he was perplexed or worried because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elijah had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him, meaning Jesus, all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and he healed them that had need of healing. Does anybody have a need this morning? Jesus is in the house, church. And then let me pick it up at verse 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? And they answering said, John the Baptist, but some say you're Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Heavenly Father, once again this morning, we call upon you, Lord. Call upon you to come and minister to every ear and every heart here this morning, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will visit up and down each pew. You will stop and visit each heart. I pray, God, that you will check each one of us out this morning and see, Lord, if we should not see the sun go down, if we would be able to meet you with a clear heart. Father, we pray this morning that we will just put everything else aside right now. And I pray, God, that we will just turn our attention to you and what you have for us this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for the church. We thank you for the beautiful song. Thank you for the Sunday school hour and the teaching. We thank you, Lord, for all the ministry, Lord, that you have given us here at this place. Now, Father, we just ask that you come, and I pray, God, this morning that you will just, as you do each and every week, Lord, that you will just be in front and let me be behind. And I pray, God, that you will just lead me and give me the words, Lord, and the message that you have for us all this morning, so that not I, but you will be seen and be heard. And we ask these things this morning all in Jesus' name. And we said all, said amen.
Amen.
As I was looking at that, and I began to read over there, starting verse 18, but then I got to thinking, and I backed up, and I'm sure I preach from some of this from time to time, but if you notice there in and chapter and verse 1, the Bible said he called his disciples together, and then after he called them, he gave them power. Amen? He gave them power. Now, if you want power this morning, then you need to allow Jesus Christ to come and be Lord of your life. Amen? You know, I've said it often, the devil has power. Amen? But you know, the devil is limited on his power. He can just do whatever we allow him to do. Amen? But you know, God's power is unlimited. God's power, the devil will not do what he says he will do, because the Bible says he is a liar and the truth is not in him. Amen. But God will do what he says he will do. And so the Bible said he called these 12 and he gave them power and authority over all devils. And not only that, but to cure all diseases. And the Bible said he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal all the sick. What have we this morning as a church been called? What have we this morning as a church doing here this morning if we haven't been sent and called of God? We have one purpose, or God has one purpose for you and me here at this church, and that is to do exactly what he done right here to his disciples. This should be a place of worship, first of all, but it also should be a church that knows the Lord and knows what the Word of God says. And so this church should be able to operate just as a hospital. Amen. You know, we go to the hospital when we get sick. We go to the doctors when we get sick for our physical needs and to find out, what's wrong with us. But if Brother Rick done said this morning, them doctors can't heal you. These preachers can't heal you. We can pray for you as a church, and these doctors can do what God has trained and give them the knowledge to do. Amen. When they can take a heart out and lay it on a table and work on it for 2 hours and then put it back in, and it's better than it was when he took it out. Now let me tell you, they can do that because God has given them the knowledge to do it. Amen. But when they put that, when they do all that they can do and they put that heart back in you, I'm going to tell you, that's all they can do. So then it's up to God, to do the healing. So that's why the Bible said he gave him power to go out and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, there is more than sickness in this world today, more sicknesses than just a physical sickness today. There is also a spiritual sickness in the world today. You see it everywhere you go. You see it every way you turn. There is a need for a spiritual healing in our land today. So the Bible said he sent them out into all the land. And they went out. And the Bible said they went out and they were obedient. And they began to do what Jesus had told them to do. And things began to happen. Amen, Rick? And the Bible said that when they came back, that while they was out there, old Herod, in verse 7, old King Herod, the one that had killed John the Baptist, or had him done, the Bible said that he called some people, and he heard of all that was done by him, meaning Jesus, and he was perplexed. In other words, he was worried or concerned, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead. So if I had killed somebody and something, or had them killed, and then I heard that they rose from the dead, I'd be a little shaky too, wouldn't you? But the Bible said, on down there, the Bible said, and so he's asking the people about it, and they begin to tell him, say, well, some say that John is risen from the dead. And some told him in verse 8, and some said that Elijah had appeared. Notice what he said, Elijah had appeared. It didn't say anything about Elijah had come back from the grave or anything, because, you see, Elijah was one that the Bible said had never died. He didn't know what death was. You said, well, I thought everybody died. Well, the Bible said Elijah went up in a chariot with a fire around him and horses. Amen. Went to heaven. And so he never died. But he is one that the Bible does say that will come back before the end of time. But anyway, said Elijah had appeared. And then others said that one of the old prophets was risen again from the dead. And Herod said, John, I know he's not come back because I beheaded him. But who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And the message that I wanted to preach this morning goes on over, but I took a text out of verse 9 where Herod said, John, I beheaded, but who is this? And so I want to think upon the thought this morning, who is this man? Amen. Who is this man that's called Jesus? You say, well, everybody knows who this man is. I'm sorry, but no, not a lot of people knows who he really is. Amen. You get out here in the world and our jail ministry, and there's a lot of them in there that has no clue of who Jesus Christ is. There's people out here today, amen, that's went to church all their life. They have sat on the pew all their life. They have been brought up in church from a baby up to the now then, to be old in years, and they still do not really recognize who Jesus Christ really is. Amen. They have heard the name Jesus. They have heard the story about Jesus, but they do not know him simply because they have never accepted him in their hearts to become Lord of their lives. And if you have never accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, you can't tell me that you know who he is. Because if you truly know who he is, then you're going to open up your heart and allow Jesus Christ to come in and be Lord of it. Amen. So who is this man called Jesus? And so Jesus, he heard what was going on. He heard what was going on. Oh, Herod had heard it. Oh, King Herod, he wanted to know who this man was. And he began to ask questions. You know Jesus knows everything. Amen. He knew that old Herod, he knew that he was asking him questions. He knew that old Herod's mind was about to blow because he did not know who this man was that was really taking authority over him in his kingdom. Amen. And so Jesus knew. And the Bible said it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, now whom do the people say that I am? So he asked the same question pretty much as what old King Herod asked when he said, who is this man? Who is this man that's doing, Cheryl, all these things? I want to know who he is. Amen. And so Jesus, he asked these disciples. He didn't have to ask them, amen, what was going on. Jesus already knew. But he wanted the disciples to know. He wanted to ask the disciples and see if they really knew and understood who Jesus was. So he asked them. The Bible said when he went out to pray, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, who say the people that I am? In other words, Peter, who does the people out there say that I am? And then they answered and said, well, the same thing that old King Herod heard. He said, well, some of them say that you're John the Baptist, but some say you're Elijah, and others say that you're one of the old prophets is risen again. But verse 20, Jesus said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you say that I am? Let me say to you this morning, church, let's wake up, amen. Who do you say that Jesus is? Do you know him this morning? Do you truly know him this morning and a free pardon of sin? Is he number one in your life? Who is this Jesus to you? Does he go everywhere with you that you go? Amen. Is he with you in the morning when you get up? Is he with you in the noonday? Is he with you in the nightfall when you lay your head on a pillow? Do you know him? I'm not just talking about on a Sunday morning. I'm talking about a 7:24. Amen. I'm talking about, do you know him when you wake up in the morning? Do you know him when you lay down at night? I get up with him. I walk with him. I talk with him. I sleep with him. I never leave him, because he made me a promise that he would never leave me. He would never forsake me, but he would go with me no matter what the storm is, no matter how dark the clouds, no matter if the sun don't come up in the morning. I know that I'm not alone, child. I know that Jesus is still with me. Why? Because I'm standing on the promises of the Lord today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory, I'd feel good. You ever have anybody come up to you and say, well, why do you go to church all the time? Have you ever had anybody ask you that? Have you ever had anybody just be plumb blunt with you and say, what do you bunch of people do over there all the time? Uh-huh. You ever hear anybody say, well, why do you go act like you do and praise and shout and carry on over a man called Jesus? Amen. That's over a man that's called Jesus. Y'all call him Jesus?
Yeah.
The one said, I've heard about that. Well, they crucified him. They killed him. They nailed him to a cross. Yeah, why y'all going and worship a dead person? Woo! They opened the door and I let me in. Amen. I say, yeah. Yeah, but you just ain't heard all of it. Yeah, they did kill him. But he died for your sins. He died for your sins. But the good news is, he done what he said he'd do. He said, yeah. He said, they're going to do it. He said, they ain't going to take my life. He said, I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it for a lost and a dying world. I'm going to give it for the murderer. I'm going to give my life for the rapist. I'm going to give my life for the drug addiction. I'm going to give my life for the whoremonger. I'm going to give my life for the alcoholic, such as this old boy. He said, I'm going to lay down my life for them. And he said, I'm going to give them a choice where they accept it, a free pardon of sin, or where they reject it. But either way, a third day, I'm a coming out. Amen. And the third day, Jesus came out of that tomb. My Jesus is not dead. My Jesus is alive. And he's well today. Glory be the name of the Lord. They say, preacher, you ought to act that way. I don't need nobody telling me how to act when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of me. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Yeah. Well, who do you say that I am? Peter looked at him. He said, we say that you are the Christ of God. In other words, Peter said, Lord, you are the Son of the living God. There's some power in that. You are the Son of the living God. Who is this man? Whoo,
who is this man called Jesus. I don't know who he is or what he is to you. But Rick, he's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. He's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. When he gave me the gift of freedom, he gave me a free gift of pardon. I'm telling you what, a Christmas means more to me now than it ever did. Not because of the presents under the tree, but it's because of the presents that I received when that man nailed to that cross. There is no greater gift. You cannot buy this gift I'm talking about this morning. You cannot buy this gift with money. You cannot buy it with silver and gold. You cannot buy it with material things. Why? Because it is a free gift to whosoever will come and accept it and live in him and him in us. Who is this man? Who is this man that the people are talking about? Herod wanted to know. Who is he? Well, he's John the Baptist. No, I've killed him. He's one of the prophets. No, he's another of the prophets. No, they're dead. I want to know who this man is that is alive and doing all these miracles. I want to know who he is. I'm telling you, I can tell him who he is. He is the Son of the living God. Amen. Woo. He said it to them. But who say ye down? Peter answered and said, the Christ, the God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected in the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised again the third day. Does anybody believe this story this morning? Does anybody believe that Jesus was nailed to a cross? Does anybody believe that he was put in the tomb? How many believe this morning that the third day he come out of it? If you believe it, let's stand and give God a hand of praise. The greatest gift that we have here in this building this morning is a gift of eternal life. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Who is this man? Come on, say yes. Who is this man? Revelation said, he said, he was Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. John chapter 4, he said, he told the woman at the well that he was the living water. Over there in the book of John, he said, I am the bright and the morning star. In Revelation, he said, I am he that was dead, and yet I live again. In the book of Revelation, he said, I am he because I live, you can live also. Over in the 1 John 1:5, he said, he is the light. In chapter 4, verse 8, he said, he is love. In Psalms 23, he said, he is the shepherd. Psalms 27, he said, he is the light of our salvation. He is the light. He is our salvation. In John 14:6, Jesus said, he was the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He said, no man cometh to the Father except he come by me first. My friends, if you're going to make it to heaven, you need a gift. You need that gift of forgiveness this morning. And I got good news for you, that Jesus is still alive, and you're in the right place. And if you don't have it, I want you to come and receive the God offered on behalf of Jesus Christ.
Christ. I'm offering you the best gift that you can possibly receive. Amen. This Christmas. Jesus said, Son, offer them the gift of eternal life. Come just as you are this morning. Don't stand back and listen and wait for the devil. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, just a little walk up here and hit it very simple. If you're sincere in your heart, Jesus said, you come. You make the first step, and that's signifying to God that you have made a choice, that you don't have to say a big, long, drawn-out prayer. You don't have to be hit by a stick of dynamite. He don't have to slap you out of the pew. All you have to do is make a step forward, signifying to God, today, Lord, I'm going to take you home with me. You get to this altar, and I promise you, if you step out on faith, you're going to be saved. You won't have to get down here and repent of your sins. You can get down here and praise Him for the gift that He's going to give you this morning. I'm done. I'm going to allow Jesus now to work. I hope that you allow Him to work in your heart right now. Go ahead.
Just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for you and me.
For you and me.
Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary.
Listen to it. Somebody pray.
And had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. But I'm so glad
go pray, you pray, you pray.
He was willing to drink his bitter cup.
Go up, make sure I'll be
although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. And I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels, but from my hands he pulled the torment me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for you and
me. Get through it. I'll be right here if you want to come. I'll pray
for
you.
If
you've got an illness, I still believe in the anointing of the oil and the
Mount Calvary.
I still believe that same Jesus is alive today.
And had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus,
you know Jesus Christ,
then forever my soul be lost. So glad he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. And I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels, but from my hands he pulled the torment me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost.
There's one more thing. One more thing. God reminded us in the Bible. He said, I am God. And he said, there is no other like me. I got to get out of here. I'm about to blow up. Praise God.